no, hey, it'd be heaven. Somebody said, well, if there's no Jesus, it'd be heaven. Just get rid of the devil. I mean, if there wasn't anything else to it, it'd be heaven to just get rid of the devil. Thank God, be home with Christ forever and forever and forever. Praise God, get over there and shout the victory throughout the seas of age. You got your Bible. I want you to turn with me for just a few minutes this morning to the 23rd Psalm. Now, oftentimes, when you hear somebody read the 23rd Psalm, the only time you ever hear it just about is at a funeral. And I tell you, there's more to it than just a funeral, my friend, found in these verses here. To me, it's an inspiration to the children of God. To me, it's something to inspire you, make you want to go on, keep on keeping on by our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no quitting place. God's not looking for draft dodgers. He's not looking for four efforts. He's not looking for folks to dig in, wave a white flag of surrender. He wants somebody to take a stand. Thank God the battle gear is given. And if I read correctly, there's not a thing goes on your back. It's all in a forward motion. Yes, sir. We got on a helmet. We got a sword. We got a shield. But I don't find about it in a breastplate. Don't see anything on your back. And so God's warfare is given, and we're not to retreat, turn back. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning from here in the 23rd Psalm. And while you turn, let me say it's a joy to be here with Brother Wade, his precious wife, and this church. Always a joy to come here. And then to see Brother McKinney, his wife Lois, this morning. It's a joy to have him in the service. In the 23rd Psalm, notice it said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now let me say this in the very outset this morning. To call this the Shepherd's Psalm is to give it the wrong interpretation. Because you find, my friends, in the very first verses, 1 through 4, the shepherd idea is here. Notice it said, "The Lord's my shepherd." And he goes on. He talks about he leading beside the still waters and the green pastures. And he takes care of them and watches after them and protects them. And he's got a rod and a staff and they accompany. This is all the shepherd idea. So in the first scene, and I want to see three scenes here in this portion of Scripture this morning. In the first scene, we see a shepherd, we see sheep, and we see a pasture. But it changes in verse 5. "Thou preparest a table before me." Hey, you never seen a sheep sitting at a table in your life, huh? Never. So the idea changes here. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Now here is a scene number 2. In this scene we see, my friends, a host, a guest, and a table. Here we are in verse 5. Then he changes again down in verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now notice, my friends, in verse 6 it changes again. And in this scene, which is scene 3, we see a father, we see children, and we see a table, or rather home, here in this scene. Verse 6, father, children, and home. Now let's go back and listen to these verses for a little bit. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I can see that shepherd boy David. Maybe he's out there under the shade of a tree. The sheep are feeding everywhere. And boy, let me tell you something, those sheep know that shepherd. I talked to someone just a little bit ago, and this fellow was telling me, he said he met two of those Israelites over there when he was visiting in Israel. And he said they had about, to look to him, like 2,000 or 3,000 sheep apiece. And he said those shepherds met up there, and they talked. And when they got through their conversation, they decided to go one way and one the other. There's all those sheep mixed up, mingling amongst each other. But he said all of a sudden those fellows started walking off, and each one of them begins some kind of little chant, something or other. And listen, that little chant that he had, every one of his sheep recognized that. And but it wasn't long that they separated again, and those were following his shepherd and joined with the shepherd. I can see feels David out there in the shade of the tree, maybe, and he's looking at those sheep, and he begins to think about this thing. Well, I'm the shepherd. I have to look for the green pastures. And by the way, a sheep doesn't have sense enough to find them. He's one of the dumbest animals on the face of this earth. He doesn't even have a natural born leader. A ram cannot lead a flock of sheep. He can't do it. You throw an old goat out there, left out, you take him in the direction you want them to go. Yes, sir. He knows how to direct that show, honey. Yes, sir. But notice this old ram. He's not a natural leader. So David said, I look for the pastures. I look for the cool waters from the drink out of. And by the way, a sheep won't drink out of babbling waters. Waters coming over a fall, making a racket over rocks. They won't drink out of that. So he had to find the still waters from the drink out of. And then he said, it's my business to protect those sheep and to keep the wolves away and the bear away and to look after the sheep. He said, that's my duty. And no doubt it begins to name other things. When one's lost, I have to go find it. When one strays away and he keeps doing that, I hate to do it, but I have to break his leg so that he won't leave the herd, stay in the herd, and all of that. Well, I seem to make some of those things, but all of a sudden, it dawns on him. And that's when I believe he cries out and said, why, if I do this, and I'm the shepherd here, the Lord is my shepherd. God takes care of me. Isn't that marvelous this morning to know that? Oh, I'm that, thank God, I'm one of his herded sheep. I don't know the way. I don't know the way through the wilderness. I can't tunnel through the mountain. I can't compass across the waters. I don't know, my friends, what shall happen. The good brother myself sent you on the front seat a few moments ago as I'm talking. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And I said to him, I suppose it's a good thing. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. I may die in an automobile accident. I may die in a massive heart attack. I may know what tomorrow holds. I may have a stroke. I may be laid up somewhere in a hospital the rest of my life. I may live 10 or 12 years in a hospital bed somewhere. I don't know. I'm just thank God my shepherd this morning knows. And David said he knows all about it. And as I look after these sheep, provide for it, God is going to take care of me. And he really does. I want to say in all these 42 years that I've been saved, and I've been preaching almost soon be 43 years since coming May the 16th. I want to say that God's always supplied every need I ever had. He's given me the green pasture seed out of. He supplied every bit of food I ever needed and some more to go with it. Amen. I want to tell you, God has been good to me. Years ago, we was living over in Clinton, North Carolina. I just been run off from this church, and I often say, one good thing about getting run off, you don't have to pray about leaving. And brother, I didn't. I mean, they got rid of me in a hurry. Yes, sir. I was living in a little bungalow house. Across the road lived a millionaire. He owned that little house that I was living in. I tell you, I was behind with my rent. I didn't have money to pay my automobile payments. I owed so much money up the grocery store. The groceries, I was ashamed to go back up there except to pay the man. And I want to tell you, me and my wife was sitting there. We hadn't had a bite to eat for 2 days. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I guess we'll starve to death. If that's what God wants. Well, she said, let's get these plans. Well, we went to the bedroom. Sat down beside the bed. She got on one side. I got on the other. I couldn't get in on that other side, Rena. Didn't get in there. Oh, I tell you, when we got to praying, after a while, God said, I'm going to work this thing out for you. I went back in the front room, sat down, was reading the Bible. It wasn't long. There came a knock on the door. I was at the door, and here stood that millionaire. My heart almost fell out. He said, preacher, I was just thinking about you. And I thought, you were thinking about that rent money, what you were thinking about. And I thought, no one is a millionaire. He collects that rent on time. Yes, sir. I said, come in, sit down. He said, if you want to saw me, you've got to think about you. So I'll just come by and talk with you for a little bit. We got to talking, and after a while, you and that fellow planted this garden out here? He called a 10-acre field a garden. Honey, if I got a hold of any water in this row of seats down through here and any longer, it is not a garden. It is a crop. Is that right? Yes, sir. He said, the man that planted that said he's sick. He's in the hospital. And said he don't have anybody to take care of it. He's going to take it to the market, sell it, and he told me to just give it away. Somebody take it. Said, could you use it? I said, yes, sir, I can use it. And I wasn't lying, honey. I haven't had a bite in 2 days. And when you take a piece of plunder as big as me, had it in 2 days, I mean, it's a bad time. Yes, sir. Well, to make a long story short, That fellow said, you just have it. Oh, I tell you, I couldn't wait for you to get gone. I said, when he started out, I said, look, I don't have that rent money. Oh, he said, son. He said, I don't know what that crowd done to you. He said, they'll never put you off. It's never been to that church. Now, he said, listen. He said, if you get the rent money, okay. And if you never get it, just forget about it. Out the door he went. I almost slammed the door in his heels when he went out. I ran in the kitchen. My wife had a little tub in there. I call my foot tub with a handle on it. Hey, you ought to see me in that millionaire garden. I mean, I was thinking black-eyed peas and green beans. Every time I look at a cabbage head, all I can see is a bowl of coleslaw. Amen. I love cantaloupes. But I committed that summer, almost pounded on them. Hey, and he had a 2-acre watermelon patch. Oh, my soul. I drop out of the roller every morning when the dew is still on one of those melons. And I just pick it up and drop it. That's the old red heart, boy. I take my hand. I jab that thing out. The juice are running off of my chin. Ah! We're in the millionaire's garden, honey. Amen. And I will serve notice on the devil this morning through all these years that I've been saved. When it looked like the cover was back and there wasn't going to be anything to eat, you're going to starve to death. I got news for you. God has sent my shepherd. And he's supplied every need I've ever had. And he's taken care of me. Oh, listen, David goes on and he talks how that the Lord's his shepherd. God gives him the cool waters to drink from. How that God protects him and watches over him. As David would fight a lion and fight a bear. Listen, the reason he's doing it was because he loved the sheep, that's the reason. Yes, God, he just didn't go bear hunting and lion hunting. He was out there to protect those sheep and to watch after them. And that's exactly, David said, what God's doing. The Lord's my shepherd. He protects me. He watches after me. He looks over me. And that's what God does for you and I. Yes, he does. I know a lot of fellas spend all their time writing letters to this and writing letters to that and fighting this and fighting that. I mean, I ain't got time to write them letters. I can't spell good know-how. Can't write too good. Don't know how to run a typewriter. But I'll tell you what, I've got one that knows all about that crowd. Yes, he does. He's got the reins in his hands. Everything's running on time. He's in control. And I'll tell you, I'm going to trust him to take care of me because I am one of his little sheep. And so we see here, my friends, he talks about the sheep idea that's found in God being the shepherd. And then he said, we're the sheep. I'm glad I'm one of his sheep and God's my shepherd. And then I'm glad for the good pastures that he provides for me to eat in and to fellowship in. I like that, don't you? And this is the first scene that we see. But then he changes in verse 5. And notice what it says here. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou knowest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Thou wait, friend, it's good for God to be your shepherd, but it's better for God to be your host. Yes, sir. That's a wonderful fact. I know some preachers on the face of this earth that are wonderful hosts. All of you know Brother Ralph Sexton. All these preachers know that I'm telling you, I've never found a finer host anywhere in America than old Brother Ralph Sexton. Old Brother Jack Story of Thunder in Detroit, Michigan. He's an outstanding man as far as being a host is concerned. And I like to get around a fella like that. Amen. Now, this blesses me. Won't bless you, maybe, but it blesses me. I've been places. I've had them to treat me just anyway. As an evangelist, one guy said, now you're going to be staying in a still place. Real quiet. And so we got in the car. We went down a road about 10 miles. Finally, we turned on a dirt road. We went down that dirt road 5 miles. And finally, we hit just sort of a path back through the woods, a little old dirt road. And finally, we crossed the creek, had to ford the creek. And after then, in a wide open place, there was an old house trailer that looked like it had been built back in the 30s. There's that house trailer. And he jumped out of the car and said, ain't it quiet? Hey, amen, I was going to be in a quiet place. Well, I tell you, friends, listen, I had them to put me in homes. One preacher said they pulled a ladder down out of the ceiling, put him in an army cot up there with a fan, and said, if it gets too hot, we'll try to get you another fan. Well, I tell you, friends, you run into all kinds of situations. But it's wonderful to get around a fellow that's a real host. I was meeting in Norfolk, Virginia some time back with Brother Rodney Bell. I went in the room. It's a motel, an outstanding place to stay. And there's a big old fruit basket and a letter on it. And I opened that letter and said, we're delighted to have you in our church once again. And there's a $50 bill. Said, here's a little spending money. Now, I know every church can't do that, but I want to tell you what. That was a blessing to me, brother. Amen to God. To know that they loved God's servant and was looking after God.
God's servant and want to be a blessing to it. I tell you, it's wonderful to meet with a fine host. But I'll tell you, friend, it's wonderful on the other end to meet that a guest and to get around the host. I like to be a host. I do. It's a Greer Baptist camp meeting. We try to feed folks, take care of them. I know I don't do as good a job as some of these fellas don't have enough money to do it. One guy said, "Won't you get that building finished?" I said, "Won't you give me some money and a will?" Amen. But listen to me. I'm trying to say it's wonderful for God to be your host, and it's wonderful to be his guest, and it's marvelous to sit at the table. Now, there's one thing that I despise in the whole country, and I'm going to find me a chair when I get ready to eat today. I cannot stand up meat. I just hate to do it to save my neck. I like to sit down where I can put my elbows on the table. Now, Mama said not do it, but she's here today. She's over in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I'm going to get a stick just right. I like to have my hands just right when I sit at the table. And God here, David said, "If the host, I am the guest, and God has prepared a table, and I'm going to sit at the table." Well, now let's change the scene again. In verse 6, notice what it says. In the house of the Lord forever. Oh, I tell you, when I look at this here, we see God as the Father. We are his children, and thank God we're whole. Now go back, look at it. It's wonderful for God to be your shepherd, to be your host, but it's better for God to be your Father. It's good, my friends, to be a sheep, but it's better to be a guest, and it's better still to be a child in the family. It's wonderful to eat in the pasture, but I tell you, it's better to get at the table. I tell you, there's nothing like get at the house at home. Hallelujah. That's better still. And this is found in the last part of the scriptures in the 6th verse. That is that God is the Father. I'm thankful to God this morning. He's my Father. Amen to God. I'm going to go to Rome, confess my sins to another hole. The last speaking room where I'd be down priest. I'm glad that I don't have to look up some man, my friends, and do things such as that. But God is my Father. And he takes care of me. And he watches after me. And looks over me. And I am his child. Thank God for that. I am his child forever. Not for 30 days, not for 6 months, not till I do something I shouldn't have done. Old Cohen Satterfield lives next door me down in Pelham, South Carolina. Brother Buddy Mullinax came by one day. Cohen is working on his old well. The pump of water logs out there, or the tank, and he is trying to fix the thing. All of a sudden, Brother Buddy Mullinax came by. Cohen got saved for the grace of God. 2 or 3 weeks after that, he was a proud and old mule. And by the way, that's the stubbornest mule that I ever seen in my life. And I never seen one. It wasn't hard, but that was the world's work. The old Cohen was proud that mule, and the thing wouldn't do just right. And he called him a bad name. Well, some of the times he said, "What the hell?" No, he didn't go to hell. But he couldn't sleep that night. He couldn't sleep because he was under conviction of calling that dumb brute a bad name. And so he couldn't sleep. He waited for daylight. I know that's an agonacious mule I've been around in my life. I got at him one day. He just had him in a lot that big as this room here. And he would let me catch him. He dropped down to the air with his ears up like this. And it looked like he laughed at me. And here I am weighing 350 pounds trying to catch that mule. I got aggravated. I called a big old beast-legged bulldog I had. I sticked him on that mule and down through the lofty well. About that time that old mule bowled up, he caught that bulldog in the side of that left hoof. That bulldog he went around for 30 minutes going, "Hey!" Knocked the wind out of it. Well, I started out of that. Hey, you country boys know what I'm talking about. You need to have a mule door to go. You need to trip on the bridle and the reins like that. You know what you do? You get higher and higher in the air. And here I am jerking on the reins. My wife sitting back here was looking out the window watching me. It come a good shower and the grass was wet. I can have to bend that mule. I took my right foot and kicked at him with everything I had. And when I did that wet grass, my left foot went out from under me, and all over me was mule. Everywhere I looked was mule. Aggravating thing. As a 78. Oh, my buddy called him a bad name the next morning, but daylight. He went to the barn. He found that mule in that old barn. He got on his knees and asked that mule to forgive him. Then he got up, throwed his arms around his neck, and kissed him. Don't say I wouldn't do that. I'd just have a mule in the country. They get right with God, wouldn't you? Amen. So, my friends, we find how it's wonderful for God to be your Father, for you to be his child, and thank God to know that he's loving you, caring for you, and watching over you, not for 30 days or 6 months, but forever. God takes care of us. Old Brother Henry Greer, that was a deacon at the Pelham Church. Brother Harry, you remember him well, I'm sure. Oh, boy, he is here. That one of the greatest fellows I've met in my life. And I tell you, every preacher's ever known him refers to him, talks about him. He goes to the choir. Had the fellows teach him up here in the choir. Over on the side with the curtains, and Brother Mark Satterfield had the elderly women in this room over here. And he'd get up in the choir, Brother Greer would. He'd teach us fellas, and he'd say something like this: "It's better on up the road." Man, he is about 80 years old, and telling me it's better on up the road, and I wasn't but 28. Glory to God, I got that butt to kick up, and him still hollering better further on. Yes, sir. And then about that time, he'd say, "God, I put the angels on half rations to see a poor old sinner saved, and make me want to run my head through the wall." About that time, then he'd stop. He just stopped, stand back. You get your old Mark Satterfield, boy, he's going to town. I mean, he done got wound up mountain style. He's hacking it off, boy. I want to tell you, over there in that room, and old brother Greer would say, "Amen, Mark, amen." He'd go to amen at him over there in that room. And I mean, boy, it'd be a time around there, yes, sir. But they made it up years ago when Brother Harold Sutton was pastoring there. That even if they're sick unto death, and they look like they're going to live, if the Lord is still real to them, they just shake hands, and if he's still real, they squeeze each other's hands, even if they couldn't talk. They made this up now, years previous to what I'm fixing to tell you. Well, old Brother Henry had a stroke. He was laying in the hospital up there in Greenville, South Carolina, and old Brother Mark Satterfield went over to see. They wouldn't let him in. Old Mark caught the nurse's head turned. He's running there now. And grabbed old Brother Henry by the hand and said, "Brother Henry, is he still real?" Well, he went to squeezing that hand. Glory to God. Out the door went Mark. Well, the next day his daughters came up, or a few days later, and they sitting there talking to him and said, "Daddy, how do you feel?" There he was, could hardly talk. His old jaw was hanging down, and arm was limp, and the whole right side was paralyzed. And he said, "Well, I feel pretty good today." He said, "I've got two wonderful nurses staying with me." While those girls knew he didn't have nobody staying there. They hadn't hired anybody. And so they thought, well, he's just kind of talking out of his head, and they carried on with him. One of them said, "Daddy, are they pretty nurses?" "Oh," he said, "two of the finest I ever met in my life." The other one joined in and said, "Well, what's their names?" And old Brother Henry looked at him and said, "Goodness and mercy." "Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Boy, I got to look at that thing. Glory to God. You ever look at it this way? "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Now I want you to just reach down and take those words out. "All the days of my life." Just pick them up and carry them out, and let's go back up and start all over again. "The Lord is my shepherd all the days of my life. I shall not want all the days of my life. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures all the days of my life. He leadeth me beside the still waters all the days of my life. He restores my soul all the days of my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake all the days of my life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, all the days of my life I'll fear no evil. Comfort me all the days of my life. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies all the days of my life. Thou anointest my head with oil all the days of my life. My cup runneth over all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever all the days of my life." Thank God. Now, bless God, you're not going to get rid of me. I don't like your looks. Well, that thing works two ways. You know, just kind of the way you look at things. Got up the other day and said, "Boy, your hair is really come out. You ain't got much hair." I said, "It's the way you look at it." I said, "In your soup would be a lot." Amen. I mean, just kind of the way you look at things. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. Bless God, I want you to know this morning that I'm a child of God. God's my Father. I am his child, and I'll dwell in his house forever and ever. When I was a boy, I got into bad trouble. I wanted to run. I wanted to catch a ship for Hong Kong. I mean, I wanted to get out of that. You know, it's man's nature to run. I don't care who you are. 9 out of 10 people, the first thing they want to do is run. You'll run. You run either right or you run wrong. So I want to run. I want to hide. And when a man does wrong, you don't want nobody to know it. He wants to hide it. I worked with the prisoners when I was in the penitentiary. I wasn't no penitentiary. What's my name? But I tried to say when I was in the army, I was a stockade. I worked at the stockade. I was an MP. And did you know what? We had over 3,500 prisoners at the annex and about 450 at the main post, which is a total of something around 4,000 prisoners. And how many men here have ever worked in the correctional system like that? Anybody?
Some officers.
No. Okay. Anybody has one? Well, you know what I'm talking about. Ain't none of them ever guilty.
I frame.
Hey, they went on up to it. 9 out of 10, boys. Hey, somebody cried. I didn't do that. I didn't do it. Hey, that's man's nature to do that. To hide it.
I got in trouble. I want to run.
Somehow, something down inside me. Listen to me, I'm through. Something down inside me kept saying, go home. Go home. Go home. Finally, I yielded and I went to the house. My mother and my stepdad lived in a little apartment out there in a place called Burlington. I went up, I opened the door, and when I walked in, my mother and stepdad were sitting over there on the couch. And boy, on the midnight, I saw my heart just burst open. I was lost, going to hell, wasn't thinking about God, wasn't interested in God. But I figured God was interested in me, and he was thinking about me. And I took off running across that room, and I fell on my knees in front of them. My stepdad laid his hand on my head, and my mother leaned over and hugged me, and I began to tell them, and they knew all about what I'd got into. But listen to this, I'll never forget what they said. They said, we don't condone what you've done, but we'll stand with you. Now listen, my friend, praise God, God don't condone everything I do. He don't approve everything I do. I'd be a fool if I stood here this morning and told you in 42 years of trying to live for God that I've done it perfectly. I'd be a fool. All you have to do is ask my mother-in-law. She could straighten you out on that deal, huh? Yes, sir. That's right. But I want to tell you one thing. Listen, God Almighty, even though he didn't condone my sins, I'm glad he had never run me off. He cares for me. He watches after me. And I got news for you, no matter what Billy Kelly gets into, when it's all said and done, there'll still be a friend standing with an outstretched hand. Thank God, want me to come back and to come home and to get right. I'm his child. And one of these mornings, he'll call me home. Thank God, and I'll be with him forever and forever. Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' precious name that you'd help us, dear Lord. God, help us to serve you. Help us to honor you and live for you. Dear Lord, I pray that on this homecoming day that we'd be blessed of the Lord. We'd be lifted up. In one sense of the word, Lord, we hate to give loved ones up, friends. But Lord, really down deep inside my heart this morning, if it's time, Lord, and it was for Brother Burgess to go home, I'm glad he died of his suffering. I'm glad he'll never suffer no more than that old man.